Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hello everyone, it's Jesse Green here. Welcome back to SavvyDentist.com and to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. It is wonderful to have you here for another episode of the show. Now, as I'm recording this episode, we are starting 2023. So for all of you, Happy New Year. I hope you had a fantastic Christmas time, you had a good break over the holidays, and you're ready to go for a fantastic year ahead. Now, if you happen to be a motivated and driven practice owner, I'm going to encourage you to come and join us and start the year off really well by coming to the Savvy Dentist Facebook group. And in that group, you'll find some tools, some training, some strategies to help you take your practice to the next level of growth that you want to achieve in this year and beyond. And what I'd really like to talk about in today's episode of the show is about how to start the year well, how to start the year with intent and purpose. Because what I've noticed commonly happens is people come back from the holidays and it takes a little while to get into gear. They're still in holiday mode, feeling a bit sluggish. And what typically happens or often happens is we see things being a little bit chaotic. You know, they've left a few things undone before Christmas, they're coming back to a bit of a mess, and they've got to get their house in order before they can get into gear. And what happens then, of course, is we waste opportunity. And we let opportunity pass us by because we don't come out of the blocks fast enough, we're off to a sluggish start. And what then happens is we end up with this frustration and we end up spinning our wheels and really not getting the traction that we want to get at the beginning of the year. What I know is that a lot of practice owners come back and they really don't get into gear until February. And what I say to our guys that we work with in the Practice Max Mastermind is you want to come out of the gates pretty hard. You've had your good rest over Christmas. We've finished the year strongly. We've had a great rest. And now it's time to really launch the new year successfully and well and with intent. And that key word is intent, because what I really believe is that if we can be intentional about what we do, if we can be clear about what we're trying to achieve and single-minded and focused and disciplined in our execution of things, then we go a long way to achieving our goals and our aspirations. But what I find often happens, as I said, is people find it hard to come back. So if that's you, let's crank it up a gear. Let's get into gear and get going, because there is some good opportunities here. And of course, the opportunity really is to get things rocking and rolling, get our house in order, you know, really make sure that we're productive from day one. And then, of course, you know, we've got a really, you know, good opportunity to get traction, which is very satisfying. We're getting results, we're getting enjoyment and so on. So really, there's three things I just want to talk about briefly in this episode today. And I'm going to keep this a short, focused episode so that you can take this action and move forward with it. Now, the first thing I want to talk about is clarity and focus. The second thing I want to talk about is the importance of daily habits. And the third one is really about targeted action. So the mindset that I'm going to ask you to be thinking about as you go through listening to this podcast is about connecting to these concepts at a deeper level. Because what I'm going to share with you is you'll probably go, yeah, I know that, Jesse, I know that. But there's that great saying, and that is to know and not do is to not know. And even if you are doing it, it's how can you do it better? How can you get that 1%, 2%, 3% improvement? Because when you have that improvement, it compounds into massive growth over a relatively short period of time. And that's what I want for you this year, is a year of growth, a year of seeing your dreams come true. You're making the money you want to make. You're enjoying the free time you want to have. You've got a practice that's operating successfully. You've got a practice that's delivering great care to patients. You're making the money, as I said, but you also have this balance with life and time and family and recreation, all the things that go with living a well-rounded life. So let's get into it. So I wanted to start with clarity and focus. And here's the thing that I've really come to understand, having worked with hundreds and hundreds of practice owners over the years, probably thousands. And that is, if we're not clear about what we're aiming for, it's very, very hard to be focused in our activities. So the first thing is to get clear about what we're aiming for. Now, I'm not talking about having big, grandiose visions. And if you've got a vision, that's amazing. And I'm a big fan of having a vision for your practice. I think it's a great thing to have. Some people get by without it, and that's okay too. But what I do like to know is, what are you optimizing your practice for? So What does that mean? Well, what are you aiming for in terms of revenue, in terms of take-home pay, in terms of the amount of clinical time you want to be spending, the amount of on-the-business activities you want to be doing, and then, of course, time away from the practice, holidays, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so what I really want you to start thinking about is in 2023, if I was to stand at the 31st of December, 2023, and look back to today and go, you know what? What would need to be true for me to be able to look back on the year and go, that was a great year? Then that's what we're optimizing our practice for in terms of revenue, take-home pay, and then the time clinically, the time on the business, and of course, the time out of the business, whether it's holidays, et cetera, clinical education, whatever you want to be doing. And so if you can get clear about those goals, then it's about reverse engineering success. And the very first thing is to get that clarity. And once you've got that clarity, you now have the ability to focus. And there's a really famous psychological principle called the be, do, have principle. And what I find most often happens though is people operate slightly differently because what they typically think of is what do I want to have, what do I want to do, or what do I need to do, and then who will I be? So, you know, some people say, I want to be a millionaire, Jesse, and you go, well, great, you know, what do I need to do? I need to do a certain amount of revenue, I need to do a certain amount of profit, then I'll have my $1 million, and then I'll be a millionaire. Or you might think, well, I want to be a champion weightlifter or a powerlifter. Well, you know, they go, well, I want to be a champion powerlifter. I want to win the trophy. I want to have that trophy. Therefore, I've got to do a certain amount of training, a certain amount of reps, a certain amount of weights, and then I get to be a champion weightlifter. But what I'm going to say to you is the way success really works is it's about being the person you need to be, then doing the things you need to do in order to have the things you want to have. So let's just think about that for a second because it sounds like I'm saying the same thing. What I'm saying is if you want to be a champion weightlifter or a powerlifter, you have to have that identity and persona within yourself now. And it's one thing to say, I want to be a millionaire but have poor thinking habits around money, or it's, I want to be a millionaire but I spend all my money on this, that, and the other. Because the person you are right now isn't aligned to that outcome of being a millionaire in that instance. Or if you're sitting on the sofa eating chips and binge watching on Netflix, that's not really aligned. That persona is not really aligned to being a champion weightlifter. And so again, who do we need to be this year in order to achieve the things we want to optimize for our practice? So how do you need to show up yourself? How do I need to be holding myself? What sort of attitudes do I need to have? What sort of mindset do I need to have? How do I walk? How do I carry myself? Am I confident? Am I more assertive? Am I developing new skills that I need, that I need to master? Do I need to learn a bit more about financial management? Do I need to learn a bit more about leadership? Do I need to learn how to market finally? Maybe that's a skill that I need to really get my head around and really understand. And then, of course, there's the social things. Who do I need to connect with? Because we are the product of our environment. Who do I need to have in my environment so that I can optimize my practice for the things I want it for? Then, of course, from a service point of view, who do I want to serve better? Maybe in your business, you're thinking, well, maybe I want to serve my team better. Maybe I want to be a better leader. Maybe I want to serve my clinical team specifically better. Or maybe I want to serve a certain portion of my patients, or maybe it's just the whole patients. But again, for you to optimize for your goals from your practice, who do you need to be better service to? Maybe, if you're trying to create more time and you want to create leverage, maybe it is about serving your team better. Maybe it's about being that leader, and that ties in with the skills you want to develop and so on and so forth. So when it comes to clarity and focus, we need to firstly know what we're trying to optimize for, and secondarily, who do we need to be? Because the be, do, have model, a very famous psychological principle, starts by us adopting that persona. And if we can adopt that persona today, do the things that we need to do, then we will have the things that we want to have. So that's key number one. Key number two is all about daily habits. And one of the things, you've probably heard this expression before, that practice makes perfect, right? And that's maybe true, but I don't think so. I think what happens is practice makes a pathway. Practice makes it repeatable. And so what I mean by that is that are we doing the right practice? Are we practicing the right things the right way? Perfect practice means, you know, of the right things, means we're going to do the right things perfectly. But have we got good habits or not? Because what actually happens is, unless we create our habits by design, oftentimes we'll fall into bad habits by default. And again, going back to that example I said, if you want to be a weightlifter or a powerlifter, you know, if you've got the habit of sitting up late at night, binge-watching Netflix, rather than going to bed, getting good night's sleep or eating well or doing whatever it is that a champion weightlifter would do, then those habits don't really support your goals. And so when it comes to the habits that you want to understand, that you want to instill, you've got to understand there's this habit loop. And there's a great book, or many great books on habits. There's, of course, Atomic Habits, which is really well known. But the book I really like is called The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg. And he talks about this habit loop where we have a cue, then the habit itself, and then the reward loop, and there's this feedback loop. And so we need to understand, if we're going to set up a habit, what's that cue? You know, maybe I want to go for a run in the morning. Maybe the cue is I wake up and I swing my legs out of bed. Once my legs hit, or my feet hit the floor, then, you know, I put my shoes on, I get into my running gear, and off I go. And maybe that's the cue. The habit is the running, and the reward is that I get to feel good that I've done my run for the day. So when it comes to habits, I really look at three categories of habits. Now, again, you can think of this in lots of different ways, but the way I just look at it is three different types of habits: healthy habits, wealthy habits, and wise habits. So for me, the healthy habits, you know, would be around my exercise, my diet, my mental well-being, sleep, and so on and so forth. What am I doing to stay healthy? And then from the wealthy point of view, you know, how do I set my intention for the day? Do I review my business goals? Am I reviewing my marketing plans? You know, am I reviewing my team and organizational structure and the training plans I have for my team? Do I create a to-do list and then triage those to-dos by priority of top three? And then maybe I'm reviewing the day. Those could be my wealthy habits. Maybe another wealthy habit could be setting aside money and paying myself first and investing into, you know, whatever it is I'm investing in and building wealth that way. Another wealthy habit could be making sure I gather up my numbers every day and I analyze them. And then the third category of habits, really, I call the wise habits. And for me, I'm an avid reader. I like to read. I know that some people say, oh, you know, you don't need to read and all that sort of stuff. And that's fine for them, whatever works for them. But I really believe that most of us need to learn in life. Wisdom is accumulated through experience and learning. And sometimes it's easier to learn from other people's experiences than to go through that entire experience yourself. I like to shortcut my learning. I shortcut my learning by reading books or listening to audio programs or whatever it happens to be, so that I can learn from other people's mistakes or I can learn from other people's successes. So for me, I like to read or I like to listen to podcasts. So, you know, maybe one of the wise habits for you could be, what are you reading or what are you listening to? Maybe it's about practicing gratitude and appreciation. And I heard a wonderful quote that when your world shifts from expectation to appreciation, your whole world opens up and changes. Because appreciation is about enjoying the now and having appreciation for the past, whereas expectation is about future things. And I heard an American pastor talking. He described Thanksgiving as an appreciation element, where you're giving thanks for the things that have and you've got now and that have been before, whereas Christmas is more of an expectation. Yeah, there's the new things you're welcoming into your life. And I think you need to have a balance of appreciation, expectation. But for us, in our house, every single night, we have a ritual where each of us will go around the dining table and we share our three good things for the day, the things we appreciate. And maybe one of your wise habits is having that family dinner and building relationships with people. Maybe it's meditation, whatever it happens to be for you, to develop that inner wisdom that gives you that confidence within yourself to know that you're on the right path. So I think getting those habits right is really, really critical. But of course, the third key is really around targeted action, and nothing changes without action. We can pontificate and meditate and read books and do all of those things, but nothing changes without action. All the leaders in the world that I know that are great readers are also great implementers. You know, people that just study books and don't do anything, well, that's a little bit pointless, right? So we've got to really look at how we're spending our time and what we're spending it on. And I think it's really important to think about, you know, what you're doing with your time. And maybe you want to do a bit of a time audit where you list out all the things that you're doing on a day-to-day basis, and you get really granular about that. And you, every 15 minutes, you write down what tasks you've been doing. And once you've got a list that's, you know, maybe you do that for a week or so, you develop a list of everything. Once you've got a list, maybe you ask yourself, well, what of these things on the list do I want to do more of? What do I want to do less of, and what I want to stop doing? And then maybe some of those things you want to delegate to someone else. Maybe it's a low-level task, an admin task. Maybe it's something that's high-level but you just don't like, or you're not that good at. Maybe you need to hire someone to do that. Maybe you need to invest in some skill development for yourself. And maybe you just want to keep doing more of it and keep it the same. But I also think it's really important to have some fun. And so while you're taking this targeted action and thinking about what you want to do more of, less of, and stop doing altogether, it's also really important to balance your life and have a bit of fun, because, you know, all work and no play really does make Jack a dull boy. And certainly I know lots of people that are incredibly successful, but the most boring people you'll ever see, you don't want to have them at a barbecue, because, you know, they've got nothing to talk about other than work. And so we want to inject a bit of fun. And I don't know what it is for you, but for me, it's playing tennis. I love playing tennis. When I was a kid, I played lots and lots of tennis. I love cricket a lot. My cricketing career was cut short by an acute lack of talent. I often joke. I could bat at number 11 and in any team, no matter how bad the batsmen were, I'd always still be number 11. But I love cricket, but I wasn't particularly good at. But tennis, I was okay at, and I could hit a ball and I enjoy hitting a ball. So for me, my fun is going out on a tennis court and just trying to get better at hitting those strokes in consistent manner. So I enjoy that because it's got a physical element to it, it's got a mental element to it, it's got a fitness component to it, and it's got a game to it. And I'm fairly competitive. I love to play sport, and I like to get engrossed in the competition. So for me, I schedule fun in. And where I'm going with all of this is, once we've figured out all the things we want to do more of, less of, and stop doing, as well as the things that give us fun and bring joy to us, we've then got to start thinking about, well, how do I schedule that? How do I put that in my diary? Because one of the things I know is that if we don't have fun, we start to resent work, and we've got to balance that out. And so if you have fun in your diary, it's a tennis lesson for me, or fixtures, or whatever it happens to be, then I know it's going to happen. If I don't put it in the diary, then it's likely that some other priority will come along and overtake it, and then I miss out on the thing I enjoy, and then I get to be a grumpy old bugger, and that's no fun for anyone, especially my family. And so what I'd say to you is, you've got to schedule the important things in your life. And we know about scheduling our appointment books from a work point of view, but outside of that clinical time, we need to schedule other things, whether it's working on your business and getting those strategic things done. Maybe it's about learning about marketing and investing time and developing those skills, but equally it's important about putting those fun things in your diary as well. And I really believe that, if you show me your diary, I can show you your bank balance. I can have a pretty good guess at your bank balance. If you show me your clinical diary as well as your outside of clinical hours diary, I can have a pretty good guess at how well you're traveling with your practice, because we know that success leaves clues, and we know that the people who are successful in their practice balance all of these things really elegantly. The person I know that does this really, really well is one of our clients, and yeah, he has a great deal of fun. He makes it, good amount of money, but he doesn't take himself so seriously. He has a laugh. He enjoys himself. He takes his business really seriously, but he doesn't take himself so seriously. But he runs a tight schedule. He's on top of things. He knows when he's going to the gym. He knows when he's going to do. He's quite a spiritual guy. He knows when he's going to church. He knows what he's doing at work. All those sorts of things. It's very orderly and structured. Now, that doesn't mean you're structuring your life within 5 minutes of every moment of every day. You're not trying to make a diary that's so rigid and constrictive. It's just about booking in the things that are important and then having flexibility around the rest. So when it comes to 2023, my hope for you is that this is your best year. And if you start the year really well, you're putting yourself into the best possible frame to be able to do that. Most people, as I said at the beginning of this, start too slowly. They just come back sluggish. But I really believe that if you can get that clarity and focus, build those daily habits, and then take targeted action and make time for those actions, doing the right things the right way, then you're going to absolutely succeed. And there is a certain discipline in that. There's a certain rhythm in that. It's not always sexy, but it is, oh my God, effective. So my hope for you is you'll take this and implement it. And my other hope for you is that 2023 is the most fantastic and wonderful year for you. And I'm really glad to be talking to you at this time of year so that you can get your year off to a great start. And I look forward to hearing about all your successes. So take good care, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye now.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.